If I looked for a common theme in the readings today, particularly the first reading from Ezekiel and then the Gospel, it would have to be something along the lines of dealing with conflict or conflict resolution. And then I think of this Father's Day and then the conflicts that take place between so many fathers and their sons, and sons and their fathers. That's not to say that the women are excluded from conflict. They just manage it a little differently, I think. I also found something interesting yesterday, that the amount of money, 1.36 million, is spent normally on Mother's Day in Australia, normally, and it's 660,000 on Father's Day. Now, what that's got to do with the readings this weekend is absolutely nothing, but I just found it an interesting little figure for Father's Day. But there are a couple of songs, for example, that tie in the tensions that often exist between fathers and sons. And one of them you'll know is Cats in the Cradle. And I commend it to you. Henry Chapin, I think, is the guy that sang the original, Cats in the Cradle. And it talks about a father having a son and then wanting to spend more time with his son, but he just worked, the dad worked all the time, and eventually the son grew up and, of course, became exactly the same as the father. The father wanted to spend time with the son, and he had time then to spend with him, and the son kept saying, "Look, I'm too busy now, I can't, I've got my own family, but I'll catch you later." So it wasn't one of non-love, it was an inability to live a life of love. That was what was happening. It's a good song. Another one by Eric Bogle, and I do commend this to you, but don't listen to it while you're drinking gin. It's a depressant. And that song is called Scraps of Paper, and it's about a son who finds his father's letters on these little scraps of paper, his father's thoughts. But it is well worth it, particularly for the men in the audience here this morning, the congregation, to listen to that song about the relationship that is either there or sometimes not there between a father and a son. By way of the scriptures and by way of leading into the scriptures, there were tensions in the time that the Israelites were exiled into Babylon. That was the time that Ezekiel wrote the first reading. There were tensions when Matthew wrote the gospel within the community. The community that he refers to is actually the church. And when he talks about brothers having issues with each other, he doesn't mean siblings. Matthew there means the members of the community, because they were all referred to as saints or adopted sons and daughters. So it's not so much a family thing as if there's a tension in the community. For Ezekiel, he was charged to the people of Israel to prepare them. He was the last of the great prophets with the prophet Daniel. He was charged with preparing them to return to Jerusalem from exile. But that would only happen if they changed their ways. And so Ezekiel had to challenge them about their behaviour and their lack of godliness and their lack of love for the Lord. And then we find from the scripture that Ezekiel was told to tell them to behave themselves. You have to challenge them. And if they do behave themselves, then you have saved them, and they have been saved. But if you do not tell them, if you do not challenge them, and they continue their ways, then it's your fault, Ezekiel, that they are damned, because you did not challenge them. And we would say challenge them appropriately. So there were ways, even in biblical times, of managing conflict appropriately and inappropriately. Fast forward to the gospel, and there's obviously a tension, as I said, in Matthew's community of some kind. And he then gives the strategy that is attached to the old law. And that firstly was, and some of you may have tried this in your own life, not just fathers and sons, but when you're dealing with people in the workplace, for example, or members of the family. If there's an issue, he's saying, firstly, just the two of you go and sort it out gently. Now, we wouldn't use the language sort it out in an Australian context these days, because for men, when they're told to sort it out, very often it means like that. And that's not what we're referring to. Sorting it out means go to a quiet place and sit down and talk properly and appropriately to each other and work it out that way. If that doesn't work, our scripture tells us, then take two or three witnesses with you, because we need those in order to sustain any charge, because this is something that is happening in the community that is affecting the community. It is affecting the love and the inability to love within the community. And so we say the church when we use the word community. So take a couple of witnesses with you and make sure that what you're hearing is what they're hearing. And if that's still the case, that they will not alter their behaviour, then you have the right to, well, we would say, excommunicate, to use church language. And in the scriptures today, we're told that treat them as a pagan or a tax collector. Why that symbolic language is used is because pagans and tax collectors were not allowed in the synagogue, no matter even if the tax collector was Jewish. He was considered as a traitor to the people. So they were excommunicated, as it were. Then, if that doesn't work with the two or three witnesses, then bring the case before the whole community and let the community decide on the evidence that is presented, depending what the case is. So what could have been resolved as a private individual issue, not handled appropriately, now becomes a public issue where everybody knows the dirt behind this particular case, whatever it might be. It seems that what was going on in Ezekiel's time and Matthew's time and in our times, it's just the flavour that has changed. Such pain and agony still exists within families and within community and within church. And it's how we manage that conflict or that tension that is the essence of this weekend's scripture readings. And so this is a time for us, I think, to say, well, how do I actually manage those difficult, challenging conversations within my family, within my neighbours, within the church? You may or may not know that even within the church, we have a strategy in place to manage conflict. I'm actually involved in a committee, unfortunately, where there are the three members. And the three of us are the ones that are called in when we have to transfer or move or remove, rather, a parish priest from his parish because of conflict. Now, thanks be to God and his blessed mother, I have not had to exercise that awful challenge yet, but it's one that I am partly responsible for in this committee that the three of us are on. But it means that even in the church today and in Matthew's time, we are not immune from conflict. The essence of the scriptures and this weekend is, as I say, how we do that. And it must be done in charity. And that's why the last part of this weekend's gospel talks about where two or three are gathered in, and I put an emphasis on, in my name. So it's not just two or three gathered, but it must be in the name of Jesus, Son of God, who is God, God is love. Any conflict for a Christian, the starting point must be love. Or use the word charity if that works better for you. But it must be love. If we do not put Jesus into the centre of our conflict resolution as a Christian, then what happens is we very quickly go to pointing fingers at the individual, making them wrong and me right. Even now, when I do conflict resolution with people, I always write on the top of the paper where I keep notes, the issue, not the individual. It's a very important tactic to remember. And the issue, whatever that might be, is worked on, firstly, from my point of view, it must be with charity. It must be where two or three are gathered in my name. I must put Jesus there in the middle of that. And from then, love works its magic. If I just put myself in there and exclude Jesus, then I am not doing as Jesus did and asked us to do. And that may be one of the reasons why sometimes there is awful drama in communities, not just the church, but in communities and in families, because people want to make others wrong and make themselves right. They want to bring others down rather than build other people up. They want to remove charity and fill it with anger or even hatred at times. And that happens in families. It can be exacerbated in families. I think you know that. And I hope you haven't experienced it, but it would be a rare family that has not had tension between father and son, mother and daughter, between other siblings. And these things sadly sometimes arise at the worst time, particularly after death. And the challenges that come forward when we throw a death in a family and then we throw money into the family circulated through a will, it can become extremely challenging. So we then look at what the issue is. You put Jesus into this issue. The issue initially is what? And I can't tell you what that is. But very often, if it is stirred up by personality, you will get nowhere. You will get anger and you will get hatred. And that's exactly what we're not aiming to do. God is love. In all of our conflicts, begin, and I'm not trying to be overly pious or super religious, I think you know me well enough, but put Jesus into the difficult conversation, but put it in your heart first. And that's what the responsorial psalm is saying to us. Oh, that today you would listen to his voice, harden not your hearts. If we have a hard heart, there is no way, there is no room for Jesus' love to work its magic. We must have a gentle heart. As painful as that can be at times, it very often means using less of these, using more of these, our ears, and less of these. We must learn to listen with the ears of our heart. Put ourselves in the other person's shoes. Are they hearing what I am saying? If I say that in charity, if I say that in love, their hearing will be good. If I just let my personality override the situation, it will be distorted. So let all of our conflicts, whether they be within our families or within our communities, let them be resolved charitably. Write Jesus' name down if you have to do that in terms of managing the issue. We are Christian. We are not pagan, and we're not tax collectors as far as I know, and we're not going to treat people like that, and we won't if we gather in his name. Doesn't matter how many are there, but put his name first, and then I am absolutely convinced all will be well, eventually.